Okay, so butterfly fans, listen up. Imagine this. You've booked your trip to Vietnam. You're excited to see some amazing butterflies, right?
Of course. Who wouldn't be? Vietnam is a butterfly paradise.
You got it. It really is. So to get you prepped, we took a deep dive into this 2017 scientific paper. It's called Butterfly Diversity and Seasonality of Ta Phin Mountain Area. They really zeroed in on this one spot in northern Vietnam.
Yeah, about 380 kilometers northwest of Hanoi.
Wow, that's pretty far.
It is. It's actually near the Chinese border. But here's the thing, it's not just about the mountains.
Okay, what else makes it so special for butterflies?
Well, the researchers were really interested in how the mountains, the rice paddies, and even the villages all work together. They create this really unique mix of habitats. And that's what draws in so many different kinds of butterflies.
Like a buffet for butterflies, a mountain buffet. I like it. So how many butterflies are we talking about here? Did they actually like count them all?
They did. Can you believe it? Over 8 months, these dedicated scientists counted over 26,000 butterflies.
26,000. That's more butterflies than I can even imagine. And I'm assuming they found a ton of different species too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Get this, they identified 231 different species. That kind of data is super valuable for understanding biodiversity. It tells us a lot about how healthy or not an ecosystem is.
231 different kinds. Wow. So if you're a butterfly enthusiast, this place sounds like a dream. What were some of the coolest ones they found?
Well, get this, two of those species had never even been recorded in Vietnam before.
Whoa, no way. Talk about a once-in-a-lifetime sighting.
Right. It just goes to show how much we still don't know about these creatures. Even in a place that's been studied quite a bit, there are still new discoveries to be made. You could see something no one has officially documented.
So cool. What were the names of those new butterflies again?
Euthalia mondaegii and Euthalia masokai.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to say those again, a little slower this time.
Euthalia mondaegii and Euthalia masokai.
Got it. Beautiful. So you said this study went on for 8 months. I'm guessing they didn't see the same butterflies the whole time. Did the researchers mention anything about the best time of year to see the most butterflies?
They did. It turns out if our listener wants to catch peak butterfly season,
Yeah, when should they book their trip?
July and September are the best months to go.
Okay, so summer into early fall. Makes sense. But I'm curious, why is there such a difference throughout the year? You'd think it would be pretty consistent in a place like Vietnam. Always warm, always sunny.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? But remember that butterfly buffet we talked about? Well, it's not a year-round buffet. Turns out it's all about timing. The temperature changes affect what those butterflies can eat. The amount of rainfall affects their food sources.
Right.
Even the flower blooming seasons matter. It's all connected.
Fascinating. It's like a delicate dance between the butterflies and their environment. So it's not just about showing up when it's warm and sunny.
Nope, not at all. Different butterflies, different tastes.
Speaking of different, here's something else that caught my eye in this study. They mentioned something about seeing mostly male butterflies. Is that a
It
thing?
is a thing. A whopping 81% of the butterflies they observed were male.
81%. Now, maybe this is a silly question, but I've never really stopped to think about if there are more male or female butterflies. Is that normal? Why is that?
It's still a bit of a head scratcher, even for scientists.
Really?
Yeah, one theory is that females are just better at hiding, especially when they're getting ready to lay eggs.
Oh, that makes sense. They're trying to protect those future butterflies. Sneaky moms. So, with all these different species, are they all evenly spread out, or are some harder to find than others?
That's a great question. It seems some families are definitely trickier to track down, like the Lycanidae, those are your blues and hair streaks,
Beautiful.
and the Hesperiidae, which are the skippers, were much harder to find.
What do you think that is? Are they like the picky eaters of the butterfly world or something?
That's a great way to put it. They really are the picky eaters. They tend to be smaller and need very specific things to survive, which means, unfortunately, they might be some of the first to disappear if their habitat is disrupted.
Ah, so it could be a warning sign. That's really interesting. I'm starting to see how this research isn't just about counting butterflies. It's about figuring out how we humans impact their world, too.
Exactly. And that leads us to the question of conservation, which is so important in a place as incredibly diverse as Vietnam.
Yeah, we don't want to lose these creatures before we even know they exist. So let's talk about that. What did the researchers find about the health of the butterfly populations in Ta Phin, and what can be done to protect them?
Well, that's where things get interesting. It's kind of a mixed bag. there's good news and some, well, not so good news.
So about that good news and bad news for the butterflies.
Yeah.
What did the researchers find?
Well, the good news is that this place, Taffin, it's still incredibly diverse.
That's awesome.
Right. Like we were saying earlier, 231 species in one area. That's pretty impressive. It really shows that at least some butterflies are adapting to that mix of mountains, rice paddies, and villages. Gives us some hope.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
But there's got to be a but here, right? There's always a but.
You're right. There usually is. And in this case, the but is that the study mentioned only 3 butterfly species in this whole area are officially recognized as needing protection.
Oh, wow. So we're talking like globally recognized as endangered.
Yeah, both sites.
The sites.
Sorry, that's the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And the Vietnamese Red List. 3 species out of 231.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
No, it doesn't.
So just for those of us who aren't butterfly experts, what do sites actually do? I mean, why is being on that list so important?
Sure, yeah. It's basically a global agreement. Countries all over the world work together to make sure that trade doesn't wipe out endangered plants and animals. So being on sites, it means a species is really, truly in trouble if we don't actively protect it. No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. That's intense. Okay, so 3 species on the list, but probably a lot more that could use some help. What's stopping us from protecting them?
Well, for one thing, Southeast Asia is facing really intense habitat loss right now. Like, it's really bad.
Because of deforestation and things like that.
Exactly. Plus, on top of that, we're still discovering new species. Like those two in the study we were just talking about, never documented in Vietnam before.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to protect something you don't even know exists.
Yeah, talk about an uphill battle. It's like trying to do a puzzle when half the pieces are missing.
Exactly. And even when we do know about a species, it can be incredibly difficult to figure out how many there are and what they need to thrive. Like those little guys we talked about earlier, the like Canidae and Hesperiidae, they were like the ninjas of the butterfly world.
Mm.
Super hard to track.
Yeah, you'd need a whole army of scientists just to keep up with them. So given all of that, what are the researchers suggesting be done?
Well, for one, more research is always a good thing. This paper we looked at, it's really just a snapshot, you know? If scientists can keep going back to Taffin over time, they can track changes and hopefully spot problems early on.
So, like, an early warning system.
Exactly. But here's the other thing they said. We can't just focus on butterflies in isolation. It's like they're part of a much bigger picture.
Right, right. Everything's connected.
Right. So butterflies are kind of like the canaries in the coal mine for the entire ecosystem. If they're struggling, it could be a sign that bigger problems are brewing for everyone and everything.
That makes a lot of sense. They're so sensitive to changes in their environment, so they really could be a warning system for the planet.
Exactly.
So by looking after butterflies, we're looking after everything else too.
Bingo. But there's one more piece to this puzzle.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What is it?
Awareness. The researchers were very clear about this. Most people just don't realize how important butterflies really are.
They see them as, like, pretty decorations.
Yeah.
Not essential parts of a healthy planet.
Exactly. They are beautiful, but they're also vital. And people need to know that.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I kind of took them for granted until we did this deep dive. I'd see a butterfly and be like, oh, that's pretty, and then just go on with my day.
Mm.
I never thought about how crucial they are.
I think a lot of people are like that, to be honest. It's not necessarily intentional, but the researchers made it clear the more people learn about butterflies, the more likely they are to care about protecting them. And that's where we as travelers, we have a huge role to play.
So how can we as travelers make sure we're part of the solution here, not the problem, especially in a place as delicate as Taffin?
Well, the researchers actually had some really practical advice, like, First and foremost, think about who you're giving your money to when you travel.
Oh, interesting. You mean like choosing eco-friendly hotels and tour companies?
Exactly. Choosing to stay at eco lodges or those little family-run places that are really conscious of their impact. And then when you're looking at tour companies, see if they're upfront about their efforts to protect the environment. Do they support any butterfly conservation groups? Do they actually talk to their guests about responsible tourism? Those are good signs to look out for.
It's like, you know, putting your money where your mouth is. Voting with your wallet for the kind of world you want to see.
Yeah, I love that. And as tempting as it might be to like wander off the beaten path and really explore, try to stick to the marked trails.
I know. It sounds kind of boring, but
it's important. Every time someone cuts through the wilderness, it can be really damaging, even if they don't mean to be. you know, hurting plants, disrupting the balance of the ecosystem.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a problem, especially with hundreds of people walking through these areas. Not good.
Not good at all. And actually, while we're talking about good intentions, another thing to keep in mind is what you bring with you when you travel. I mean, bug spray, sunscreen, these are essential, right? Especially in a place like Vietnam. But some of the chemicals in those products can actually be harmful to butterflies and other wildlife.
Oh, wow. I admit I never really thought about that. I just figured if it was on the shelves, it must be safe. Are there specific ingredients people should avoid, or what should people look out for?
Well, a good rule of thumb is to look for things like reef-safe sunscreen. That's usually a good indicator that it's better for the environment as a whole. And when it comes to bug spray, maybe try to find natural options or ones that use lower concentrations of chemicals. Every little bit makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah, it all adds up. So we're being aware of where we stay, what companies we support, where we walk, what we bring with us. Any other tips for our listeners who are lucky enough to be heading to Ta Phi?
Let's see. Well, I have to imagine that being surrounded by all those incredible butterflies, it must be so tempting to get up close.
Oh, for sure.
But as hard as it might be, resist.
Resist the urge to.
To touch them. They're way more delicate than they look, and even a light touch can damage their wings, which can be fatal for them.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that serious.
It is. They're fragile. Mm. So yeah, eyes open, cameras ready, hands to yourself. Admire their beauty from a safe distance.
Love it. Respect the butterflies.
Mm.
Okay, what else?
Oh, this is a big one, and I feel like people don't think about it a lot. Be mindful of what you bring home.
Souvenirs. You mean like those butterfly wing trays or the framed specimens?
Yes, exactly. I've seen those too. And while those kinds of souvenirs, they often contribute to the illegal butterfly trade, which, as you can imagine, is incredibly harmful and puts even more pressure on species that are already vulnerable.
Right, right. It's like the last thing they need is us buying souvenirs that are contributing to their decline.
Exactly. So maybe look for locally made crafts or artwork that celebrate nature, you know, without harming it.
Yeah, like support local artists instead. Leave the butterflies where they belong, fluttering around in Ta Phi.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
This has been amazing. We started with a deep dive on, like, counting butterflies in this one little corner of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we ended up talking about the illegal wildlife trade, protecting entire ecosystems.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about making conscious travel choices and having a positive impact. Amazing.
It just goes to show you, even a single scientific paper can unlock, like, this whole world of information and get us thinking about the bigger picture of how our choices impact the planet.
Totally. So as you plan your trip to Vietnam, dear listener, remember what we've learned here today. Every choice you make, from the tour companies you pick to the souvenirs you buy, can make a real difference. Help protect those incredible butterflies of Ta Phi.
Their future and the future of so many other species depends on it.
So well said. And on that note, this has been The Deep Dive. Thanks for exploring with us.